the Bible is written for the generation that has to go through Armageddon, if they're the target audience, considering the Bible ends with Revelation, and it goes on, and it says that this paradigm ends and a new paradigm begins. This paradigm is destroyed. Now, when you look around the world today, how much do you really want to save? You know, what part of industry, the banking complex, what part of new technology like HAARP? Which really is a new technology. But, you know, maybe we should save the nuclear industry. That would be a good one to save. And we can find out what happens to Fukushima in another 40 years. You know, see if we have any more of those things go off, or see if they can fix that. Because they don't have the technology, they will not have the technology to fix Fukushima for 35 years is what they said the week that it went off. They said, we don't even have the technology to begin to fix this.
Well, they're probably just saying that because they didn't want to tell everybody that it's actually going to be like 20, 30,000 years before we got the technology to fix it. And by then, everybody will be dead. So why matter?
You see, that's the great thing about the 2045 initiative. I don't know if you've looked into this or any of your listeners have, but if you haven't, go Google it. The 2045 initiative, it's the transhuman initiative. They know they can't stop Fukushima. They got to come up with a way to keep on going. And so the end game plan is to develop nanobot technology to the point where they could replace biological humans with humans who are made of nanobots. So essentially, the 2045 initiative is the end of biological human life on this planet. Yeah, there's your deadline.
How interesting. And because the elite have been trying to do this. It's one of their end games. I mean, like, if you were a complete psychopathic control freak, what's the last thing that you fear? And what's the only thing that you really, really want to prevent on a consistent basis? Death.
And, you know, this is something that the Dalai Lama himself has endorsed.
Well, didn't the Dalai Lama have slaves?
Yeah, I really don't know because I don't follow religion. You know, here's why. Because you get to Revelation, the 17th and 18th chapter, and religion as we know it is destroyed. So why bother following something that's going to be destroyed?
Well, it wouldn't have stopped people. In fact, people have done this before throughout history, haven't they? They're just like, hey, this sounds like a really brilliant idea, but bro, it's going to exterminate us. It's going to completely enslave us and everything. Yeah, but the guy tells us it's a good idea. Let's just follow him blindly and not question it.
Well, you know, interestingly enough, when I was writing Letters to Earth, I was like, okay, where did this all start? And actually, I had an inkling of it before, but I needed to get the story so I could get it down in writing. And in doing my research, I never just look for one source. I like to find at least three and at least two before I'll say, yep, okay, now we've got support for the finding. And sometimes, you know, you got to look at the logical answer yourself in what's going on. But the main thing is feel what's going on, because if you can feel it, you'll know it before it gets to you. You know, it reminds me
of something I actually got told by a friend of mine. I wanted to quit my job once, and I asked him, you know, what should I do? And he goes, does it feel right? I say, well, yes, it did. And quitting that job turned me into this radio show host that I am today. So, yeah, it felt very right, and it still does.
There you go. You know, here's the thing. And this takes us into the multidimensional universe. How many times have you turned around and said, I knew that was going to happen?
It actually happens to me like almost on a daily basis, and sometimes like my brain will tell me things, and yeah, Vinny do that, and I'll go and like, let's not do it and just see what happens. And exactly what I thought would happen if I didn't do something exactly does happen.
So go listen to yourself then. Yeah, it's obvious.
Oh yeah, yeah, exactly. I was just testing. You know, I was just testing. I remember this one time actually, Peter. I was at my wife's friend's wedding, And for some reason, the song came into my head, you know, Electric Avenue.
We got to bus down to Electric Avenue.
Have you heard that song before? No?
Yes, absolutely.
All right. Well, I was just humming it in my head, and I don't know why the hell it was in my head. And I got in my car, turned on the radio. I didn't even touch the dial or anything, but there it was.
We got to bus down to Electric Avenue.
And I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. I'm starting to actually predict radio and television and even movies, in fact. I think, what was it, last year or might have been the year before, there's a film called Dredd, about Judge Dredd that came out in the cinemas.
Yeah.
And about a week before it was announced, I was like, Judge Dredd's going to be coming out again. And so I watched the old Judge Dredd, the one with Sylvester Stallone made in 2005. And then, watching the TV, here comes a new ad for a new Judge Dredd movie. It's like, I knew that was going to happen. Why? how does this happen? And more to the point, how the hell can I actually derive practical benefit? Because you can't actually, like, there's no practical benefit in knowing that Electric Avenue is playing.
You're 100% correct, but it goes to show you that you can tune in to virtually anything, not just anything, but anything in any time, forward or backward in history, any place across the multiverse, as long as you know where to go look. You know, if you walk into a library and you want to go find a book, now you go to a computer, you type in the name of the book, they give you the reference number to go where to go look, then you take that. Well, however many digit reference number they give you, the Dewey Decimal System, and you go track down the aisle and the row and the shelf and the area where that book should be located. Now, without having that little roadmap to where that information would be, how long would it take you just to walk into the library, walk right to that place where that book would be located and say, that's it, and walk right back out?
Einstein did that to somebody once. There was a group of students hanging around him at a university one day, and one of them asked him a question. And he goes, okay, well, I'll get you the answer to the question. So he walks down the aisles of books. He's just dragging his fingers along both sides of the aisles of the books, and he picks one, goes to a particular page, and then pops it down in front of the student. He goes, read that. That's the answer to your question. He just did it totally randomly. And it was the answer to his question.
Yeah, well, you know, you see, Einstein did something, and he was a master at it. You see, he knew how to meditate. He pondered, and he saw the outcome, and that's how he saw the end result. And so then he would work backwards from the end result and come up with this equation. That's why I said God doesn't throw dice with the universe. It's not a game of chance.
Yeah.
That's why fractal technology works. That's why sacred geometry works. That's why all these things are together. Now, you know, here we've got all of this stuff that, boy, you know, could you imagine if they taught this stuff in school? The brilliant minds that we could turn out. Oh, my goodness.
Students would stop listening to the teachers, though, and the schools wouldn't exist anymore. How bad would that be?
Well, no, you see, if the teachers knew enough to teach this stuff in schools, I can guarantee you in one generation the paradigm of this earth could be changed.